If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
If teachers strike over the vaccine, they're a disgrace, says one of our listeners, and goes on to say... let me just find that for you again now, because my computer is all over the shop here. What would happen if supermarket workers went out on strike over they not being top of the priority list? Remember, they've worked all through the pandemic and they're most entitled to it, rather than school teachers. We all want to be top of the queue when it comes to the vaccine, but it's not possible. We just have to wait our turn, says one of our listeners. Mick was on to us from Clonmel with a tongue-in-cheek to say, I've decided to take credit for the Lidl development in the town. Every councillor is taking credit for everything that moves in Clonmel, so I'm joining them. That comes in from Mick, who's a little bit grumpy today, but there you go. Okay, lots of people kind of cross with the teachers over the possibility of strike action there. Lots more in on WhatsApp, and I'll bring you that in just a little while. But right now...
Tipperary's greatest sporting moment with your local credit union.
16 sporting moments. Battle it out to be crowned Tipperary's greatest individual sporting moment. Now, you must decide.
Tip FM is looking for Tipperary's greatest ever sporting moment in association with your local credit union. The focus today pits the 1949 to 1951 Tipperary Hurlers 3-in-a-row victory up against Aisling Maloney's wonder goal for the Tipperary Ladies Footballers against Cork in 2019. Our own Stephen Deason caught up with the captain of the 1951 Tipperary team, Jimmy Finn, and he began by asking him about the one game that he remembers most fondly.
Oh, the 1950 All-Ireland against Kilkenny.
And why that game, Jimmy?
Well, it was my first time playing with Tipperary, and I was brought on for the final. That year, somebody dropped off the forward line, and Seamus Bannon was on the back line, and he was put up on the forward to strengthen him, and I was brought in a wing back. And I wasn't as big at the time because I was on Jimmy Langton. And he was the man for Kilkenny during that period. So I went on from there then. I was on after that. Every match I played.
And that year, like, it must have been really exciting to go from playing, I suppose, in front of small crowds to being in front of a huge venue and a big occasion.
I was in Ireland the year before in 49. We beat Kilkenny. So I had, you know, a bit of confidence going there. And I played a couple of matches with Tipperary, like, as well, like, you know, just ordinary matches. So then you see Boris Lee were going very well at the time. 49, sure, we won the county final, 49. And in 49, sure, we were joined up with Boris Lee. And when they got together, they had a very good team. So... Boris got into the county final in 47 on their own, and then Father Ryan Giant came to Boris, and he thinks that the spirit was there from 1937 until 47. So had a good team when they're together, but on account of Boris getting into the county final in 47, Corrigan Shore beat him. They got the preference then to go north that year. See, one team was in north and the other was in mid. So we went north, and in the north final that year, we were playing Laura, and Laura beat us. We couldn't score on Tony Redden. That's the day he made his name. So then Holy Cross beat Laura in the final. Well, the next year, anyway, we went mid, and we were playing Holy Cross in the first round, and nobody gave us a chance, but we drew with them. And in the replay, we beat him well, and then we met Borland, which was a draw as well, and that was a replay. Fierce matches. And then we beat Rosgray in the semi-final, and we beat Knockavilla in the final.
And then you were called onto the... Tip team on the back of those performances.
Yeah, I suppose I was. So then, the year after then, sure, oh, we got a trip to America in 49. And it was late when we came back in 50 then from America. And we had a fierce hard game against Thurles Sarsfield. Probably lucky enough to beat him. So we won again anyway. We beat Carrigan Shore in the final. And that was played in the first week of December. There was no underground. And we beat Carrig. So that was two in a row. So then it kind of died off. After that, the Kennys left and they went to Dublin. And we didn't win then until 53. We won another county final. In 53, we beat Borland again. And Paddy Kenny had to get his appendix out 10 days before. And he wasn't able to play. So he was a big loss. So we beat him anyway by 4 points. But he came in the last 10 minutes. And he got this ball and he did hit off the crossbar and go across bit of crossbar and out wide. Well, that was a certain goal. So that was the finish of it then for quite a while after that.
That's a brilliant career. Looking at it inter-county wide, when you were called into the panel.
After winning the minor All-Ireland, like, everything looked good. I was probably playing well. So I played league then, I think, you know. Won a trip to America. That time, that was in 1950. So we went to America, and I was telling you, it was late when we came back, and then we won the second county final.
You were captain at a young age.
The next year, 51, how that happened, Sean Kenny got injured. And two was left then, Ned Ryan and myself, the only two on the Burris team that was on the Tipperary team. But we had a toss between us, and neither was one to win, but I happened to win the toss. So I became captain. So there was a bit of a look attached to it. You know? Yeah, sure, we beat Wexford in the final that year.
And going back to that year, the game against Kilkenny that you picked, 1-9 to 1-8 was the score in that one.
1-8.
Tell us about the matches you played before that year.
I didn't play today. I only came out on for that final.
So that was your inter-county debut?
Yeah. Oh, I played it for a short time in the league. Pat Stakelman got knocked out in the league final. And I had to win in the last quarter of an hour. That was my first day. Then after that, I was on.
And you didn't play in the Munster final or anything? Were you a sub in those games then?
I was a sub all the time, you know. Yeah. I started in 1950.
And were you intimidated there, or did you just get stuck in?
No. Just came ordinary. It was a big thing to be on Jimmy Langton, but sure, you know. It worked out well, anyway. No, we became great friends. I had relations in the rag. Like, it was a sister of his married to Costello in the rag. Yeah, so they used to come up here often. So I got very friendly, and then they had a hotel, or they had a bar. His brother, Jim's brother, there was 5 or 6 of them in it. And there was 2 brothers. One brother had the Marble City, and the other, Ned was his name, he married into a pub down the town in Kilkenny. So we used to go in there a lot afterwards, and we got very friendly with all the Langtons. Friendly with a lot of the Kilkenny fellas as well over the years.
And you'd find that you'd have those friendships from hurling?
Oh, of course, yeah. Met an awful lot of people through hurling. And then Corson after the hurling. Well, there was great Corson men hurling during that period.
And Jimmy today is up against Aisling Maloney's wonder goal for the Tipperary Ladies Footballers against Cork in 2019. Stephen Gleeson again spoke with Aisling and started by asking her about the tough competition that she faces.
Very tough competition, yeah. I won't take it off Jimmy now, to be honest. I probably was surprised myself to see my name coming up in it among some of them stars as of recent, Rachel Blackmore as well. So, look, it's nice to be recognised and, you know, it's nice to be honoured like that, but I'm up against it now. I don't think my flag will be coming in too soon.
Tell us about that goal, because it was a remarkable goal. It was one of those ones that, you know, you might get once or twice in your whole career, It was under lights against Cork, blowing Cork, and the ball was floating in. Take it from there.
The ball was floating in. I suppose Bree Condon was coming in along the line, and it would be something that we'd kind of, you know, even mess out of training. But I suppose things like that are actually, you don't mean them. They're just flukes. And look, it happened to go in, and it was just right timing for us. It gave us a great head start then for the last 10 minutes of the game. But I literally, the ball came in the air and I just took my chance. I didn't know where the goal was. And next thing I looked behind me, went into the back and it was happy days for me. It made me look good. But look, it was credit to Breed as well, kicking in such a good ball at a good angle. That was perfect for me to kind of get my hand to. But that was 2 or 3 years ago now. I haven't had another one since then. So it just goes to show, like, you just kind of need to take these chances when you're playing. And if they go in, well and great. And if they don't, you're go at it again.
You're very humble. When Henry Shefflin gets a goal like that, everybody says, oh, wow, look what he did, you know, and you're very humble about it. It was a brilliant finish, I have to say, anyway. That was against Cork. What was the fixture that it came up against under lights?
I think it was just the way the league was planned that year. All the games tended on Saturdays. I remember actually that Saturday I was so tired because it was our first league game that we played in the evening, and I remember going down in our cars. Was it the bus we went down in? And I was just saying to myself how tired I was. And then that evening, it's just amazing how you just get energy out of nowhere. And I suppose when you're playing against a team like that who has been so successful, it's not that hard to find a bit of motivation in the belly to fire through. But it was just unbelievable. I'll never forget it. And I suppose coming from Tip as well, you know, underage, we're always taking second best, winning B competitions, losing to Cork in finals by a point. So even for ourselves to gain confidence and to get over the line, and without Ashton McCarthy as well, was massive for us. And I suppose it kind of gave us that bit of, you know, belief in ourselves going forward. And it's something that we still reflect on now. I know you can say it was only the league, but for us, it's probably a psychological thing of actually beating Cork, because it's something that we struggle with underage with years and continue to struggle with as of now even. So it was just a massive evening for us, and I suppose just getting, there were so many aspects that we took from that game that night.
You're on a TV ad at the moment, Aisling, and it's a really powerful ad. It's playing uphill. Girls are playing uphill. Tell us about the idea behind that and, you know, how it's about levelling the playing field for women athletes.
So I suppose one aspect of that, I suppose, the whole approach that Lidl have taken since they've come on board, they've completely transformed everything and they've gained recognition with these big TV ads and campaigns that they're doing. But I suppose just in terms of level of the playing field, probably one aspect would be, you know, maybe in terms of expenses. I was actually just calculating up there coming home, if I was to come home from Dublin, that girls are doing from Cork and that, you'd be spending about 100, 150, 160 euro a week if you're coming home twice a week. So it's just little things like that that Lidl are trying to focus in now. They've obviously gained the support now. They're getting that attendance at games, but they're just focusing in now on the nitty-gritty aspects of it. Look, it's something that we don't think of when we're going out playing. We don't think of it. It's just probably something that, you know, as a whole, if you're looking at it, it's something that they're trying to just blush out now. But, yeah, no, it was great. That's, I wasn't able to run for about 2 weeks after running up that hill and then in Glendalough.
Glendalough, was it? Right.
Glendalough, yeah. Literally, they just put in an actual football pitch on the side of a mountain. I thought they were joking with us when they were saying it, but they genuinely, there's about 150 people on set. It was about 2 days before we got the news here that COVID was, you know, the whole country to shut down. So we literally just got it done in time. But it was amazing to see directors. We even had a puddles master, someone with a, going around with a cup of water to create a puddle in the ground. It's just crazy. You think when you see these ads on TV, like the Guinness ad, you think it's just, you know, 10 minutes. That took us 2 days, starting at 7 in the morning until 6 at night.
Wow.
So nice. It was a great experience though.
Well, I know you're on to talk about your goal, but knowing you, you're going to talk about your teammate as well, because it's a team game. And Orla O'Dwyer this weekend, absolutely huge. She's involved down in Australia in the Australian Rules football semi-final. So huge for your Tipperary teammate.
Massive. It's just brilliant to see. I suppose we're all from Tipperary and we love to see Tip people doing well. It's just massive to have our own teammate and probably local girl Orla O'Dwyer over in Australia. And sure, even, you know, for younger girls looking up to her, it's brilliant to see her and see her in a professional environment. They can actually see her on TG Cahir now and see her playing. But Orla is just absolutely amazing. I always say to her that she should be in the Olympics, that she's nearly wasted playing ladies football. I think she's such an athlete, but she's such an amazing person. She's so honest, she's humble. She's just got everything, and everything that comes her way, she absolutely deserves it. I'm so, so happy for her to see the two of them. Aisling as well, I have to say. Unfortunately, Aisling's after getting injured now, but it's just great to see teammates, I suppose, when you're playing alongside them with so many years. You just want good things to come their way.
Brilliant. And just back to that goal to finish up, Aisling. That goal came in, dropping from the sky. You flicked on it with your hand facing away from the goal and in past the Cork goalie. You got an awful lot of praise and talk about that goal afterwards. It was a huge talking point.
It probably did, although I didn't really take much heed of it, to be honest. I was very more concerned about us after beating Cork than me getting the goal. It's just something that happened to work out, and it was great. It was great for the team. It gave us that push on. But those kind of things are sweeter as well when you're just kind of having a cut at it. But look, it was, beating Cork for me and for the team was the biggest thing that we took from that night.
Brilliant talking to you today. Thanks for your time, Aisling.
And that's lovely. Aisling Maloney there speaking to her own Stephen Gleeson, and Aisling competing against Jimmy Finn. And for that amazing occasion, or occasions there, back from 49 to 51. So what do you make of that? Well, you can vote. All you have to do is go on to tipfm.com and you will find your way to Tipperary's greatest ever sporting moment. And of course, we will continue with that on the programme tomorrow. Lots of text and WhatsApp coming into us about the teachers. People generally, I must say, generally unhappy at the notion that they would even talk about a strike in these difficult times. That's the general gist of what it is that we're getting today on 083 311 3311.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.